While you're standing, take your Bibles and go with me to Psalm 107. Our scripture reading this morning, Psalm. Psalm 107 is often called the Pilgrim's Psalm or the Puritan Psalm. This was a psalm that the Pilgrims and the Puritans, who, by the way, were not the same group, loved to preach, loved to memorize, loved to teach their children, and loved to read in seasons when they desired to be grateful, when they especially wanted to show their gratitude to God. Psalm 107 paints four very beautiful pictures of who we are before redemption, how we are redeemed, and what we are after redemption. Psalm 107, hear now the reading of God's precious and holy word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water and parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever's wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. Our Father, we come to you today bearing our praise before us. Your word here has called us in a very specific way. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And oh God, this morning, we come to you as those who have cried out to the Lord in our trouble. And you saved us, you delivered us. We come this morning to simply obey the call of Psalm 107 to thank the Lord for your chesed, your steadfast love, your covenant-making, covenant-keeping love, your devoted love, your faithful loving kindness, your covenant grace, your covenant love, all these different ways that translations translate that word. Lord, we come today to thank you. You satisfy our longing souls. You shatter the doors of bronze and cut into our bars of iron. Father, we come to you today as those who would desire to extol you and to praise you. Your word says that through Jesus Christ, we as your people are to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to you. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to your name. Lord, your word actually tells us that very little honors you more than when we just come to say thank you. We acknowledge before you today that you are great and that you are good. You do good because you are inherently good. We are the beneficiaries of you opening your hand and bearing your blessings to us. And on this morning particularly, Lord, as we come to the table of the Lord to remember the cross, the sacrifice of Christ, we come with a specific gratitude on our lips. We come thanking you for redemption full and free. We come thanking you for salvation. We come thanking you, as the word of the psalm would have us use, your deliverance of us. You delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of your glorious Son. You delivered us out of darkness into light. You delivered us from slavery to sin to slavery to Christ. And in that slavery, Lord, there is true freedom. What in the world would we possibly say other than thank you? We ask today that we might be forgiven, Lord. Because while we bring our gratitude and our praise before us and we bear it into your presence first, as we gaze upon the goodness of God in our lives, we are confronted, Lord, with the fact that we so often are a complaining people. That's really the opposite of gratitude, Lord, is just a people who are constantly griping, complaining. We ask your forgiveness when we are an ungrateful people. Secondly, Lord, we ask your forgiveness as a nation, as a community, and even as individuals, Lord, that some of us have to turn the calendar to see the word November to even think about all the blessings of God in Christ. And thirdly, Lord, many of us, when we do turn that calendar and we think of November and we think of gratitude, we don't immediately think of Christ. We don't immediately think of the cross. We don't immediately think of the gospel. Father, we ask this morning that you would forgive us, that we would be a people of gratitude, of true praise, and that the grounds of that praise would be proper. It would be the gospel. We who have been delivered from the mighty seas, who have had our chains broken, all these beautiful pictures that Psalm 107 gives us. That's us, Lord, we who are redeemed. Holy Spirit of God, we ask this morning that you would make us truly grateful. And of all times, as we approach the table of the Lord, to remember the cross. We ask this morning that we would not be the kind of people that need a calendar, that need a day to remind us to be grateful. That you would open our eyes to see that every breath we take outside of hell is the grace of God. Every breath we take outside the banishment from your presence is your goodness. Open our eyes to see that there is always, always, always something to be grateful for. And if nothing else, it is the cross. Help us to begin there, Lord. We ask that you would be honored as we approach your table this morning, Lord Jesus. Speak to us from your word briefly. May our covenant be renewed with you today. May our fellowship be restored. And may we walk out grateful, worshiping, and rejoicing. And now, holy and gracious God, as we turn to your word, may your sweet Holy Spirit grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, so that we may know the hope to which The Lord Jesus has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance among us, and the greatness of the power, of his power, for those who believe. Amen. This morning, as we approach the table of the Lord, first of all, if you are here and you know the Lord and you did not grab a cup on the way in, please make sure that you avail yourself of that at the end of the message so that we may all take the table together. This morning, I want to begin by reading a few scriptures. So you're going to need to kind of lick your fingers because we're going to turn around a little bit. But the way I've fashioned them is you're always going to be going forward, okay? So you're never going to have to go back in your Bible. So we'll start in Matthew and we'll go forward from there. So open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 26. The title of our time together in the Word this morning is Gratitude at the Table of the Lord. Gratitude at the Table of the Lord. If you're using one of our Pew Bibles this morning, it's page 989, Matthew chapter 26. And I want to begin reading in verse 26. These first three passages that we will read are just the simple narrative. They're actually parallel passages. We're going to read the same passage three times in three different books, okay? Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and, after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Same incident in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, page 1011 in the Pew Bible. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, page 1011. "And as they were eating, he," Jesus, "took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Same night, Luke chapter 22, page 1048. Same incident, Luke's telling. Remember, each of the three synoptic gospels have a different purpose. Luke's is the longest telling of this incident. Beginning in verse 14, page 1048, Luke 22, 14. "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. One more, the most familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, page 1039. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, page 1139 in the Pew Bible. This is a long passage. We'll only read the little heart of it here in verses 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, page 1139. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know by now that I am a big proponent, obviously, being a Bible guy, of having you read your Bibles. But I hope that you've caught by now that I have this propensity to encourage you to not only read the Bible, but to listen to the Bible. I've told you before, I grew up in a Christian retailing business. Some of you may remember, maybe some of you have been Christians long enough to remember the very first recordings of the Bible. King James, a man named Alexander Scorby. He was a reader for the blind. And he was called upon to do a reading of the King James for the National Federation for the Blind. And as he was practicing, the power of the Word overcame him and he became a Christian, practicing reading the Bible for those. Believe me when I tell you, I have seen people walk in the door and pay $400 for those cassettes. Cassettes. Okay, now if you're under 40, let me explain what a cassette is, okay? But let me tell you what you can't do with a cassette. You can't go straight to a chapter. You can't go straight to a verse. You just kind of have to fast forward that thing and fast forward that thing till maybe you find the right spot. It happens one time in every lifetime. You find the right spot and there it is. Don't waste it. Use it wisely. What a marvelous time in which we live, right? The time of the smartphone. We have apps now where you can download the Bible, and that's free. And as an added bonus, you get the audio too. It'll read the Bible to you. Don't waste your road time, by the way. Have the Bible read to you. Now, I say all that this morning so that you will know why we read these passages. It is my hopes that the combination of these passages will not only grab your eye gate, but I'm hoping that your ear gate was engaged as well, and that you picked up on a recurring theme. It's in all four of those passages. Did you catch it? When he had given thanks. Now, it's familiar territory. We've been here many times before. But just to trigger your memory, the Lord's Supper, as we partake of it, is Jesus' new covenant transformation of the Passover Seder of Judaism, which has its roots in Exodus chapter 12. In all four of the passages that we read a moment ago, the word translated, when he had given thanks, is eucharisteo. In some higher worship traditions, the remembrance we'll celebrate, we'll observe in a few moments, is actually called the Eucharist. You can hear where that word comes from. Now, what I find compelling about all this is this. The observance of the table is not, in the parlance that we use, the Lord's Supper. If you have come from a Wesleyan tradition, a Wesleyan background, Methodist, that sort of thing, you may be more used to hearing the word communion. They don't call it that. What I find compelling about all this is that in a very literal sense, they actually refer to what we remember this morning as the giving of thanks. That's what the word eucharisteo means. It's cognates, its word family conveys the same idea. The noun eucharistia means thanksgiving. The adjectival form eucharistos means thankful. The word itself has its own root. Perhaps you can hear it in the middle there, is the word charis. The root in this word is the New Testament word for grace. In fact, the prefix eu means good or well spoken. The Eucharist is grace well spoken of. That's the best definition of gratitude I've ever heard. It is grace well spoken of. What should mark us as we come to this table is the grace of thankfulness. The grace of gratitude, if you like alliteration. Listen, we talk about the table a lot because it's among the most important, if not the most important, worship service we observe. As we do, we're constantly returning to certain themes, aren't we? It is, if I can throw back the curtain and let you see Oz for just a moment. It's always difficult on me coming up to the first Sunday of the month. Because there's a part of me that just wants to take every first Sunday and just talk about the table. Just talk about the themes surrounding the table. But there's another part of me that says if we don't move forward, we're going to be in John till 4 years after Jesus comes back. Where does that come from? That comes from being raised in church. And rarely, if ever, hearing the pastor talk about the sacred nature of the table of the Lord. And then as I grew up and began to feel that the Lord was calling me to the ministry and began reading about these means of grace, I realized this is so important. Why is no one talking about this? And then I realized everyone outside of our traditions really are. So why is it that we in free church worship or free worship churches don't talk about the table of the Lord enough? So we return to these themes. We're constantly talking about things like remembrance. It's right on the front of the table. We're constantly talking about things like repentance. We're constantly talking about the gospel. We're constantly talking about the cross. We're constantly talking about substitutionary atonement. We're constantly talking about Isaiah 53. We're constantly talking about 2 Corinthians 5:21. All of this is proper. But at its heart, let's remember this morning that the table is a ceremony of thankfulness. It's a table of gratitude. We remember the death of the Lord on our behalf. And it's obviously my prayer, it's the prayer of the elders, that not a one of you ever comes to this table unaffected. And hear me now. If you can come unaffected, you are simply not a Christian. I'm not even going to equivocate. You may not be a Christian. No, you're not a Christian if you can come to the table of the Lord and be unaffected. Leave unaffected. Because here we are confronted with what our sin cost God. It cost Him everything. Last month at the table, I asked this question, what was the most expensive meal you've ever had? And then we made the parallel. It is this.
This meal cost the eternal Creator, Sovereign Redeemer God His most precious Son.
Why do we come to this table? We come, in the words of Isaac Watts, to survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. We count our richest gain as loss. Thinking biblically and theologically about the cross moves us to pour contempt on all our pride. I want to encourage you to do something. Get yourself a good hymnal and keep it with your Bible. Stop singing from it and just start reading it. The poetry there is so strong and so beautiful. It says theological things, deep, rich theology in pithy, memorable ways. We come to survey the wondrous cross. And that contemplation, that engagement with the cross should nurture in us, above all things, what? Gratitude. I kind of wish that the Spirit of God, if I can just be just me for a minute here. If you don't like me, you don't have to listen. But I kind of wish some Sunday the Spirit of God would just move on all of us in such a way that as we come to the table, when we just leave silently with tears streaming down our face in gratitude. That's what I mean by affected. That's what I mean by being confronted by the cross. That's what I mean by surveying the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. And that contemplation, that thought process, that engagement with the cross should nurture in us, above all other things, gratitude. Gratitude what? For the perpetual memory of His dying for our sakes, for His pledging of His undying love to us. I think we live in a society where that ought to grip us a little more. A society so racked by divorce, so racked by broken marriage. When we stand at the altar and we pledge our undying love. Goodness, this week I read about some celebrity. They had been together for like 7 years. They got married and got divorced in 4 months. You understand at the cross, that's what God was doing. He was pledging His undying love to us in the blood of His Son. Grateful for our bond of union with Him and our bond with each other as members of His mystical body. Grateful for the seal of His promises to us and the renewal of our obedience to Him. Grateful for the blessed assurance of His presence with us who are gathered at this table in His name. Grateful for the opportunity for us who love the Savior to feed spiritually on Him who said, "I am the bread of life." Grateful for the pledge of His coming again. You know, I wonder if your ear gate caught that as well. How often do we come to the table of the Lord and instead of thinking about what Christ did, think about what He's going to do? Did you notice that in every one of those passages He talks about taking it again in the kingdom? Someday we need to have a Lord's Supper built around the future, not just the past. I found this week and I thought it was appropriate. Listen to this. Our Lord Jesus gave thanks on the day He instituted this sacrament. He broke the bread and He gave thanks. And as He was thankful at that Last Supper for the Passover, for God's provision for His people of a perfect lamb and the lamb's blood shed for their sins, so we now give thanks for this, our perpetual Passover meal.
and for the ultimate Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Himself, who shed His blood so that we through faith might claim it as our protection and as our provision. My brothers and sisters, this is a day to give thanks. This is a time to give thanks. This is the meal at which to give thanks. To give thanks for Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. To give thanks to the Son of God, who feeds us even now through His supreme sacrifice. This morning I invite all those who profess a sincere faith in Christ and all those who are living according to His word and with a clear conscience to join me in partaking of this Thanksgiving meal. Our Lord Jesus Christ is now exalted at the right hand of the Father, and He calls us through partaking of the sacrament to commune with Him. And through this bread and cup, He calls us to remember and proclaim His death until He comes to make His enemies His footstool. So I ask those here this morning who love the Lord Jesus, trust in His atoning death, and find refuge in His eternal priesthood to join me in solemnly celebrating this sacred meal, the Lord's Supper. Bow with me. Our Father, in this moment, we come to You thanking You for the goodness and grace that You showed to us in the cross. Father, this is nothing new at this church. We do this on the first Sunday of each month, and I would hope that by now our people would understand that they must come prepared. You can't come here and prepare for the table. We must come prepared. We ask for cleansing. We ask for washing. We ask for a renewal of our fellowship. And we ask for hearts to remember and to be grateful. Before we come to the table, let's take a few moments of silence before the Lord, asking Him to search our hearts in repentance and asking Him for hearts to rejoice here at the table. And so we come bearing our gratitude before us, Lord, asking that You would meet us here, that we may share this fellowship meal together with You. In Your name. Amen. There's a thin piece of cellophane over the bread. If you would remove that, please. Just one word this morning. If you are here and you're not a part of our church, you're not a member of our church, we want you to know that this is not our table, this is the Lord's table. If you are here this morning and you are the Lord's and you're in good fellowship with Him, we want you to know that you are welcome at this table. The first element is the bread. It speaks to us of the body of Christ that is broken for our sin. The Bible says that He gave thanks. Let's bow together. Our Lord, we come to You this morning thanking You for enduring the cross, for our redemption, for our reconciliation with the Father. We thank You this morning for being the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And we thank You this morning for this opportunity to remember. Please accept our gratitude. We pray in Christ's name. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, church, in remembrance of him. A little more carefully, if you'll pull the second tab. Lord Jesus, not only do we give thanks this morning for your body broken on our behalf, but we give thanks for your blood shed for the remission of our sins. We thank you for being willing to be the Lamb of God, to be that final Passover lamb, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Please accept our gratitude this morning. Amen. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, church, in remembrance of him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, this morning it is an honor, it is a pleasure to proclaim your death, to remember your body broken for us, to remember your blood shed for the remission of our sins. It is a joy. Now, Father, we ask that we would be found faithful to not only make these proclamations to one another in the in the sanctuary, the safety of this room. Lord, we're not the only ones who need to hear the proclamation of the cross. There is a world that is lost and dying outside these walls. Oh God, may we be found faithful to now take this gospel, the cross of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world to take away the sins of the world. May we be found faithful to take this message to a lost and dying world that so desperately needs to hear it. Father, they cannot come to know you. They cannot become Christians apart from the gospel. Make us your emissaries. Make us your ambassadors. Send us forth from this place with the gospel. And may we return hearing of the triumphs of the good news. In Christ's name.